Today we're looking at disorder in the court. Now, you know, we hear about the judge. Where's the gavel we use for that Pastor Ricky uses? Order in the court. We hit the gavel, we whack it, and the judge in the court will say, order in the court when things get out of order, and sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. Well, no one came to Jesus' defense today in this text of ours, right? No one came to his defense. But we want to look today at disorder in the court. This is from Pastor Royce Headley from Sand Hill Baptist Church. He says this. He says, here are some things not to say to a police officer. Sorry, officer, I didn't realize my radar detector wasn't plugged in. Aren't you the guy from the Village People? Not a good thing to say. Hey, you must have been doing 125 miles per hour to keep up with me. Good job. Not a good thing to say. Are you Andy or Barney? That's not a good thing. Do you know why you pulled me over? Okay, just so one of us does, because I certainly don't. And finally, when the officer says, gee, son, your eyes look red. Have you been drinking? You probably shouldn't respond with, gee, officer, your eyes look glazed. Have you been eating donuts? Not a good... These are not good things to say. Not a good start, right? I still remember the time where Pastor Rick got pulled over. Have you heard about this story? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was under the influence. Yeah, I'm spreading rumors here, but of the Holy Spirit, that is. He was, because he was so, we had an awesome service, and it was really very powerful. I'm on Monday night. And it was just, there's something special happens on Monday nights and Wednesday nights, that type of thing. But anyway, he had taken the picture of Jesus right over Tim's face back there. He had taken it home to get it repaired because I think it had fallen down and needed a new frame or something like that, so, or maybe it was for sale, but he had it. He had the picture of Jesus in his back seat, and he was so moved by the influence of the Holy Spirit and that powerful night, he forgot to turn his lights on at night, Monday night. So he's pulled over because he doesn't have his lights on. The officer asked what's going on, and then the officer looked who's in the back seat and said, well, as long as you have Jesus in the back seat, I guess you're okay. So if you're going to have your lights off, at least have Jesus in the back seat, and that's all right. A true story, yeah, it is. But seriously, there is something amazing that happens when we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Right, Daryl? I'm not going to ask you to say something, because you will think of Romans 6, 7, 8, and Galatians 5, and Galatians 2, and 1 Corinthians 2, and right? Yeah. Oh my goodness. But anyway, but it wasn't a laughing matter at all in court. By the way, when I grew up in a little town and very sheltered, Missouri Synod School, very sheltered, I always thought, well, the court is always right and the judge is always right and good is good and the white hat guys are always a white hat and the black hats have the black hats. There's no gray matter. It's that's the way this world is. And coming here, I found out that that's not always the case with some of you, the experience you've had, and some injustices that do happen. But what happened to Jesus was totally inexcusable. But there's two different groups of people involved here with the story for today, the text. And first of all, you've got disciples departing and going out, leaving. Well, most of them left already. With what Pastor Rick talked about last week when Jesus was arrested, most of them said, see you, bye, out of here, so long. They were gone, right? But Peter, he followed, it says in our text, at a distance. It's never a good thing to follow Jesus at a distance, is it? After we've seen it over and over again, right? If we keep Jesus at arm's length, don't want to get too wild and crazy, like some other people, you know, we keep him at arm's length. Oh, well, we'll come to church occasionally, but it's not going to impact our lives or our behavior or our lifestyle. Don't ask for too much from me, Pastor, now. You got to be glad I'm here in church, and that's it, and occasionally at that. So that's what you're going to get from me. It's always a problem, right? It's a big yellow light going off. Caution, caution, caution when we do that, because it's just not going to work. So they took Jesus before the high priest and all the chief priests and the elders and teachers of the law came together. Peter followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. He's just sitting, warming himself at the fire, not really with Jesus, not really gone with the other disciples, sort of in between, right? In limbo. Kind of yes, kind of no. And what does Jesus say about those who are lukewarm in their following of Jesus and their discipleship? Yeah, he'll spit them out. Either be hot or cold, one or the other. But because you're lukewarm. I had coffee this morning that was lukewarm, not our coffee here at home. And it's just like, yeah, either iced coffee, right, or hot coffee, but lukewarm coffee, no, not good. No es bueno. So Jesus said the same thing about us. Either be hot or cold, one way or the other. Are you in or are you out? Are you all in, right? That's what God wants to know about us today. We'll talk about here. Because Peter was kind of there and kind of not there. He followed at a distance. And many times people don't see the spiritual warfare they're in. Peter was in a war, a battle for a soul at that moment, and he did not realize it. And a lot of times when we're in a war, maybe we pastors can see it, maybe your mentors, your parents or kids maybe can see it. And when you're in the middle of it, you can't see it, right? Think, I'm fine. Are you okay? I'm fine. I really am fine. I'm fine. I'm fine, okay? Leave me alone. I didn't say anything. I just asked you once, and you're having this inner battle inside. Because we lie to ourselves. We deceive ourselves. And sometimes the truth is not in us. We talked about that yesterday in Bubba Breakfast, the Bible study. So here we have Peter following at a distance, not seeing the battle that's going on right now for his soul. And Jesus warned him, right? Just warned him a while ago. And what did Peter say? Oh, not me. I won't leave you. Maybe these other knuckleheads, they'll leave you. Not me. You can count on me, Jesus. Can Jesus count on him here? No. So we had this group of disciples that are carnal, that are fleshly, sort of in, sort of out. Yes, no, yes, no. And that's not the way to live, right? So that's not going to work. And it doesn't work today because Peter had a lack of spiritual sight and he also had a lack of surrender. He wasn't really willing to lay down his life for Jesus like he said hours before when it really came to it, right? The test, he failed the test. Now, we'll talk later about God's grace, and it's not over for him. It's not like that's it forever for the rest of your life, Peter. You blew it once, and that's it. There would be many chances for him to come back, and he did. But for right here, there's surrender, a lack of surrender, rather. It's like, well, what are we going to do here? Well, Peter failed, but he'll come back. And yesterday, we had real good discussion at our Bubba Breakfast, besides plates full of bacon. Oh, my goodness sakes. Even had some this morning. Love leftovers. But we had great discussion, not about the bacon, but about the Bible, and not just about the Bible, but about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The fact that we couldn't get over how the Jews that were accusing and arguing with Jesus just didn't get it. They said, well, just show us the Father. What do you mean you're... How can you say, when we see you, we see the Father? And how can we talk about the fact that you say we're the sons of the devil? We're the sons of Abraham. We've got it all together. We don't have any sin in our lives. They're just totally blind. And Jesus talked about the fact that if someone truly is a disciple, if you continue my word, then you're my disciple indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will... And it's the truth that sets us free. If we're in the prison of our own lives, right, inside, and living a lie... And God knows and everybody else knows, but we're the last in on it. It's a very miserable place to be in, right? When we're not really living it, living our faith, living it as a disciple and following Jesus. What does it mean to be a disciple? Follow Him, step by step. Follow Jesus. Not some days and not other days and yes, no, yes, no. It's, I will follow you. And a disciple would, many times, besides just in the biblical sense, a disciple would be like an intern, a student. And instead of going to a university, they'd find some mentor or teacher or professor they really liked, and they'd sign up for his courses, and they wouldn't have to go through all the rigmarole today, but rather they would just literally follow him. And like little ducklings behind would follow him and watch him, and sometimes that mentor or teacher would make life pretty miserable to get rid of some of these to see also if they really wanted to follow him or not, and the good times and the bad. And I always get a kick out of sometimes people will watch TV shows and they'll choose their vocation by a TV show, CSI. There for about, 10 years, 5 years ago, everybody wanted to be a forensic investigator. And they thought, whoa, this is just like a TV show. I'm going to go to school, and then I'll have all these bright lights and beautiful people there, and we'll make these cases and discoveries, and we'll solve it in one day, and then we go home, and we feel good, and we have our glass of wine or whatever, like they do on TV, and they celebrate, and the end of the show, the end of the day, another case solved. Is that the way it works? No, unfortunately not. So what is real and what's not? Peter was living in the lies, in the shadows. He was warming himself by the fire and not following Jesus. And we are called to follow Jesus. But how do we do that? Do we follow him regularly every... No, I don't. I'm sorry. We don't do that. That's why we start the service confessing our sins, confessing our lack of love and our lack of holiness, and that we need a Savior. We'll talk about that a little bit. But this first group, we got disciples departing. Then you have the second group. You have all these people in the courtroom totally deceiving and being deceived. They're all together, and they broke so many laws. This was an illegal trial because they hastily assembled the court at night. Can't do that, right? Number two, they convened the court during a feast, which was forbidden. Can't do that. It's like having it during a holiday at night. Nobody else knows. Number three, they were meeting at Caiaphas' palace home, not in the official court. So like the judge says, let's just meet at my house on a night of a holiday. How does that sound? That doesn't sound very good. It's not on the docket. Nobody else can check it. We'll just meet quietly and behind smoke-filled rooms, you know, and try to get the deal done. There's all kinds of deals done by the devil in this world, right? And certainly in politics. Deals and wheeling and dealing. And yet God is still on the throne, right? He's still on the throne, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But they're meeting at his home, which is illegal. They were not supposed to bribe witnesses to commit perjury. They were supposed to be objective. Is there anybody objective in that group? No, they got it out against Jesus. They had false witnesses. And Jesus warned his followers this was going to happen. It was going to happen, and it still happens today, that we will be hated because of Jesus. And our words will be twisted. And people will take one thing we say and take it out of context like they do all the time to Christians now. And it's like, I didn't say that. That was out of context. I didn't do that. Or whatever it might be. And the truth is lost in the process. It's just totally lost. And there's total deception here. In fact, when that one man came up and said, I heard Jesus say that he was going to, that they tear down the temple. He was going to tear it down and in 3 days raise up the temple. Well, he wasn't talking about this temple. What was he talking about? His body. They were going to destroy his body, which is the temple of the Holy of Holies. This is God in the flesh, right? And then 3 days later, on Easter Sunday, he would rise again, right? We talked about allegories and analogies and of light and darkness, of life and death, of heaven and hell, and even of a temple. The body, our bodies being a temple of the Holy Spirit, even today. So they didn't get it. This guy was totally off. And then, of course, how do you think the chief priests and the building committee of the temple thought about this? What do you mean you're going to tear down our church? Suppose somebody came in here and says, we're going to have to tear this down. We got an order from the city of Glendale. Sorry, Pastor, we're going to tear down this building. But don't worry, we're going to build up a new building 3 days later. We have to tear it down and build it up. Like, what? Crazy. No, I don't think so. Again, they were totally deceived and living in absolute total deception and trying to deceive others. I was talking the other day about, I guess it was yesterday, of being lovingly released 10 years ago. And I remember one time we had this really neat alpha meeting that was in another church in Ahwatukee. And I was really talking at that time a lot about Crucio and Alpha and retreats and the power of the Holy Spirit and healings and miracles. And the people, most of them were really behind us, but others are going, wait a minute, this isn't the way I was raised to talk about the Holy Spirit today. And we talked about that yesterday as well, that it's the Word and the Spirit, right? It's Jesus and the Holy Spirit together, not one without the other. And they said, well, we know the pastor will be gone because he loves Alpha. He's all into that. And this isn't the Alpha prison. Alpha is a short course that started in England, a basic course in Christianity that's really good. It's very balanced, Word and Spirit. So they knew I'd be all excited into that, into discipleship and outreach. Imagine that. And so they said, well, while Pastor's doing his thing, and we know he won't miss any session, he'll be there a good all day, good 8 hours, we're going to meet secretly and try to get rid of it. And so my Judas was with me during this whole time of the Alpha, keeping me busy and calling in to make sure that they knew I was still here so they could have their meeting to get rid of me. Like, wow. And all the time I'm going, what do you think of this Alpha? How do you think we can incorporate this in the future at our church here at Family of Christ? Well, we'll talk about that later, Pastor. Yeah, we never did have that conversation. Never did happen. But the deception, in the name of church, what people can try to do, right? In the name of God, what they will do. In the name of Christianity, what they do. And what we do. And how we besmirch the holy name of God by what we say and what we do and what we don't do when we say, oh yeah, I'm a light, I'm a shining light. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. So the Lord, He has forgiveness for us. So we have the disciples kind of at a lukewarm distance, in and out. We've got the deceived crowd here in the disorder in the court. But then we have Jesus, the third party here, demonstrating His love for us. Do we hear Jesus saying much? Not at first, right? Totally serene, and we'll talk about that when He meets up with Pilate in a couple weeks, how He handled that interrogation. But here, at first, we don't hear Jesus saying anything. But then, and in the other gospel, it talks about the high priest adjured Jesus that he had to answer. And so he had to give an answer. And as the high priest asked him, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. And again, the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? Now, how will Jesus handle the test? We know how the disciples did. We know the crowd was totally lost and deceived. Jesus speaks the truth, right? And He says this great word that is included in the seven I Am's in John. Actually, not in John. There's seven there. Here's another one. He just says, I am. Ego eimi in Greek. I am. And we know that means a lot in the Hebrew. I am that I am. Yahweh. That's God's name. I am that I am. I am who I am. Period. And Jesus used that same designation for Himself, claiming Himself to be God. And He said this, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. He said, one of these days you're going to see me, one of these days, I can only imagine, He's going to come again and we're going to see Him at the right hand of the Father. And there we go. Yes, thank you. That reminds me, one time in Family of Christ, we had glass behind me in a beautiful garden. And as I was preaching, I was talking about the power of God in nature. And I didn't know it, but a storm was coming as I began the sermon. And it was pouring rain, coming down sheets of water right behind me. And the wind was blowing the trees. And I'm going, well, maybe we can't see it, but God certainly is at work today. And they said, Pastor, if you turn around, you'll see it real well. What God's doing, you can see right here. So yeah, we just see right here how that's what... But contrast that picture with the picture above the door there. See that picture? We're going to talk about that in a couple weeks. Jesus before Pilate. Beaten, bloodied, bruised, humiliated, scorned, mocked, seemingly totally powerless. And contrast this, the one on the horse coming again. And Jesus was referring to a verse in Daniel chapter 7, prophesying the coming one. And it says this, and in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, David writes, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into His presence. He, that is Christ, was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So what started there in the court halls of suffering and shame as the lamb, now is shown to be the lion of Judah, the conquering one. And He will come again to judge the quick and the dead. And He will come, the one who is now seated at the right hand of the Father, whom Stephen, the first martyr, saw as he was being killed, and they were throwing rocks at him. He said, look, I see Him standing at the right hand of the Father, looking over at Stephen. So Stephen had that vision of this, what Jesus said would happen. And every eye will see him when he comes again in all his power. He won't come meek and mild the second time. He will come in all authority and all power. And for those that are waiting for his coming again, they can only imagine what it will be like, as we just sang. And as we sang before that, when we look at that picture of Jesus being beaten, and the other one, I forget where it is, where it talks, it shows his beaten face, you contrast that with this song we sang, when he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz. Our God is an awesome God. There is thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. We have a God. Though he gave us at the cross, I hope we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God. So we look at the suffering and death, the passion, the Lenten theme of Jesus being the suffering one. He is also the conquering one. And he's the one that demonstrates his total love for us, where he could have just wiped everybody out with a flick of a finger or just asked an angel, hey, get rid of them. He could have done that, but he hung in there and he took it for you and me. He demonstrated great love on that cross that all this is leading to, right? Pastor's been preaching on this through Mark for weeks. Jesus trying to get people to be led to come to the cross with him, because it's there. It's ground zero and in the empty tomb. So, having said that, you may have disorder in the court in your life. You may have all kinds of chaos and things aren't fair in your life. But as we look at the situations and we feel like we're being ripped off by this world, by people, you have one fighting for you. You have one more than fighting for you, dying for you, right? He's dying for you. He's dying to get you into heaven, literally. And yet, that's the great love of Jesus. And that's where it all is, right? Amen. So to that end, we give thanks to our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, who is our Lamb of God. And we praise him for his suffering, because that's the only way we get right with God. It's not us, it's what Jesus did and does still today. We thank and praise him. Amen.